And then the text that calls to our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson from John chapter 9. And especially these verses where Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." So the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say you see, your guilt remains. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." Everyone is born blind. Well, at least spiritually speaking. But of course, that does not mean that all remain the same. For those who admit their blindness see Jesus. And those who claim to see, even though they are blind, remain in their blindness. The man in our text that Jesus encountered had what we might call double blindness. He was born spiritually blind, just like everyone else since Adam, but was also born physically blind. Of course, the blindness in his eyes was much more evident to Jesus and to everyone else than the blindness in his heart. You see, when Jesus met this blind man, he could see both blindnesses. The man came to Jesus with a plea that he might be cured of the physical blindness that he had suffered with his whole life. But he left not only receiving that which he had asked for, but also receiving the cure for the blindness of his heart as well. So besides the obvious benefit of being able to see again, this blind man also had the wonderful benefit of receiving salvation, which of course was to him an eternal benefit. The eyes of the Pharisees watching that day worked just fine. They could see with their eyes whatever they wanted. But inside their hearts, they were indeed as blind as the night is dark. The blind man had to admit his blindness because it was evident to all. But the Pharisees, you see, could hide the blindness in their hearts behind a series of seemingly wonderful works and pious ways. But Jesus, when he came into contact with those Pharisees in our text, ripped away the facade that the Pharisees had built with just a few words. When Jesus spoke those words that he had come to bring judgment, that he had come to make those who were able to see blind, the Pharisees realized, perhaps, that Jesus was speaking about them. Whether it was that Jesus looked at them out of the corner of his eye, or whether it was simply the Holy Spirit tugging on their hearts, they responded to Jesus and asked directly, "Are you saying that we are blind?" And Jesus told them, "If you were blind, or we might say if you were admit you were blind, your guilt would be gone. But since you say that you see, your guilt remains." Yes, with those words, the Pharisees' inner blindness was exposed, along with all of their sins. You see, as long as those Pharisees claimed to be able to see all things perfectly and be able to live according to their own sight, they would never humble themselves enough that they might be exalted by the forgiveness that Christ came to offer. The blind man admitted his blindness, and he saw Jesus. The Pharisees could not, and therefore they did not. Oh, they saw it with their physical eyes, but they could not see who he truly was. And because of that, the Pharisees remaining in that condition would stumble around in spiritual blindness their whole life long. This distinction that we find in the gospel lesson between the blind man who can see and the seeing people who are blind is not just something stuck in the historical past in our story from the Gospel of John. But it's a distinction that comes right up into the present when we examine the people all around us. For we still have many people in our world who claim to be able to see without God's help. And in so doing, they remain blind, just like the Pharisees of old. In our day and age, we have many who claim that they are able to see all things simply through the discipline of science. They truly believe that if science is given long enough, every answer to the questions that lie in the human heart and mind will be found. Richard Dawkins, a well-known atheist, said this. He said the feeling of awe and wonder that science can bring is one of the highest experiences which the human psyche is capable of. Yes, not only did he claim that science would find all the answers, but that it would fulfill every longing of our heart too as we went through the search for those answers. These people claim to see, but they remain blind. Others in our day believe that the answer to finding clarity in life is all about looking inward. Many trust the disciplines of secular psychology to find pure clarity. They believe that simply by searching their thoughts and their feelings, they will find all of the answers that they need. And you add to this all of the kind of New Age thoughts of the television gurus of our day, and many people have been left thinking that if they will stare inside themselves long enough, they will find all the answers. Looking at where they feel, all things will be made perfectly lucid. They believe that psychology and self-help and good thoughts and feelings will be able to make them see. But if they trust only in that, they remain blind. And then there are those walking around in our day and age that are perhaps most like the Pharisees, people who sort of assume that they have 20/20 vision to start with and don't need the help of anyone or anything. They believe that their actions as they go about life are very much pure, and therefore they believe they see all things clearly. They are ones that often diagnose others as spiritually blind very quickly in order that they might feel more confident of their own sight. Oh, these kind of people likely are involved in a church somewhere. And in the outside world, just like the Pharisees, they often are following the precepts of Scriptures. But truly in their hearts, their own reputation of sight is far more important to them than faithfulness before God. And if all that they do is guard their reputation, they too will think they can see, but they will remain blind. Every day, but especially in this season of Lent, let us not be found sitting in the seat of these scoffers. Instead, let us hear God's call today to admit our own blindness that we might truly see. But we must admit that as human people, we are often a little bit leery of admitting our own inner blindness. After all, it's so very easy to hide. For truth be told, most of those evil thoughts we have, even those things we do when no one is looking, most everyone else does not know about those things. And then there's even those things that our family, perhaps our spouses and our children, know about us that are not good, but we know that the rest of the world doesn't see those things either. And so it's very easy for us to put on a good front and simply act like we can see. But if we just put on a good front, we will remain blind. I knew this year when I offered private confession and absolution on Saturday morning that I would not exactly be inundated with requests for appointments. And I knew that there were several reasons for this. First off, it's a practice that hasn't been done in most Lutheran churches for several generations, and probably, perhaps, never in this church. Secondly, most Lutherans grew up with the idea that private confession and absolution is a Roman Catholic practice. But finally, and most importantly, I knew that the idea of private confession is somewhat scary, because it is a direct way to admit our blindness very openly. You see, it's much easier to gather here on Sunday morning in the crowd and confess with everyone else that I am a poor, miserable sinner than it is to kneel one-on-one with someone else and admit the same. It's much easier, for sure, to blend into the crowd than it is to kneel before a fellow Christian and your pastor and say, "Pastor, this sin particularly troubles me." So why did I even offer it, knowing that probably not a lot of people would take advantage of it? Well, it's because of the message of our text. I offered it because I know that admitting blindness results in sight. I know that those who admit their sin will see Jesus more clearly. Well, let me be clear. It's not that the forgiveness I just pronounced here on Sunday morning to the crowd is any less effective in bringing sight than the forgiveness I would pronounce on a Saturday morning, so long as both are done sincerely. But the truth is, when we gather for group confession here on Sunday morning, there are often things that can lead that to be less than sincere. First off, there are just so many distractions. And then secondly, we often say those words of confession because we're used to saying those words of confession. We can at times get through the whole "I, a poor, miserable sinner," and have never even stopped once to think what we are truly confessing. And secondly, when absolution is pronounced to the crowd, once again, it is certainly effective if it is received by each individual. But at times also, having that word spoken to the whole crowd gives Satan an area in which he can play. For when there's a sin that particularly troubles us, Satan will try to convince us that although the pastor said, "I forgive you of all of your sins," that he didn't mean that sin, for it is too grave to be forgiven. You see, the beauty of private confession and absolution, the reason that Luther said he hoped it never fell away from the church, is because the likelihood of being distracted during individual confession is very unlikely. And the second great thing is that the words of forgiveness, the absolution given in private confession, are directed to each person individually, so that there's no room for Satan to try to question whether the forgiveness applied to that sin. So today, let us indeed admit our blindness. For after all, everyone is born blind, at least spiritually speaking. But not all remain that way. Those of us that admit our sins, confess our blindness, see Jesus, while those who try to claim to see without him remain blind. May we indeed always be those who openly admit our blindness and see Jesus. For you and I are those who many of us as infants were brought to the font, and someone else confessed for us our blindness on that day. And on that day as well, Jesus first gave us sight. Sight to see him and the blessings that life with him offers. But all too often since that day of our baptism, we allow our eyes to once again be clouded with sin. So much so that if there was such a test, I suppose many times we could be diagnosed as legally, spiritually blind. And so today, let us repent sincerely before our God. Let us admit our blindness. If the words of confession that we spoke earlier in the service were for you today more ritual than they were repentance, use the words of the offertory that we will soon sing as your way to sincerely repent before God. as you cry out to him for a clean heart and a right spirit. And then, having confessed our sins, let us gather again at the Lord's altar. There is a very real sense in which we can say that everyone stumbles to the altar in blindness. Luther said the only people worthy of the Lord's Supper are those who realize they need it, those who realize their own sin. But while we stumble up to the rail, we leave with full sight. We see Jesus in that meal, in his body and in his blood, as he gives to us the forgiveness of our sins. He removes all of our blindness, and we see. We see Jesus and are saved. How blessed are we that we need never be blind, and that we leave here today as those who see by God's grace. Amen.